Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Refuah Shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Daniel Ninekin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Rav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruben Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba. There's a story in the news now that we've just got to cover because it's so really indicative of the horrific state of affairs in the United States of America and in the world at large with political correctness. How political correctness is the new evil that is destroying all morality and righteousness. And I'm referring to the story of a black Muslim Nazi, supporter of Louis Farrakhan, the black Hitler, ramming his car into two Capitol police officers and murdering one of them, and how the news media reacted to it. Let's start off by explaining what happened. And by the way, after this, we're going to discuss, to a certain degree, the latest from Israel, the latest in the political chaos that's going on in Israel and how JTF might have influenced the Israeli election. But the main story is going to be this story, because we can't ignore something like this. It was reported that someone rammed their car into two U.S. Capitol police officers, murdering one of the police officers. One of the police officers was murdered. Someone decided to drive their car into two Capitol police officers in Washington, D.C. And the media immediately grabbed this story and made it a huge story. They assumed that there was some connection here between this and the January 6th riot that took place from Trump supporters. At least that's how the media has reported this. They assumed there was some sort of connection, so the media grabbed this and was making it a huge story. They interrupted regular programming during the day, regular daily programming. ABC and other news outlets interrupted their regular programming to go live to Washington, D.C. and report on what had happened. And so there was no question that they were setting this up to be a gigantic story, a huge story that would dominate the news for the next week or two, and would show us how terrible it is and how there's a continuing threat to the Capitol and a continuing threat to our democracy, and that these right-wing rioters are just endangering all of us. That was going to be the way the media was going to build this story up. They were just salivating over this. And then all of a sudden, when the murderer, when the individual who drove his car into the two police officers and murdered one of them, when he was identified, the media quickly retreated, drastically cutting back on the story, said it was no longer the main story, it was no longer even the lead story. This was going to be the dominant story in the news. They were going to make this a story where they were going to go live coverage, and day and night they were going to be pounding away with this story. Instead, when they found out that the driver of this vehicle was Noah Green, a fanatic black Muslim Farrakhan Nazi, all of a sudden, they drastically cut back on coverage of the story. All of a sudden, the story was no longer newsworthy. And not only that, they wouldn't put in the headlines that this was a Farrakhan Nazi who did this. A Farrakhan Nazi. Now, you can imagine if it was someone who had tweeted something in support of Donald Trump, then it would have been all over the media for the next 2 weeks. We would have had endless, this would have been the story, we would have endless analysis of the tremendous danger here and how things have to be done to end this tremendous threat to our democratic system of government. But the hypocritical, evil, anti-white and anti-Semitic news media, because the news media is anti-white and anti-Semitic, even though most of the people in the media are white and or Jewish. And of course, the Jews are whites are white as well. Most American Jews are Ashkenazi Jews, so they're white. But But that doesn't mean anything, because they are so filled with self-loathing and self-hatred and this desire to put their noses up every black ass they can find. They are so filled with self-loathing. They are so filled with venom against anyone who is white or anyone who is Jewish that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that they themselves happen to be white and or Jewish. And so, all of a sudden, this great threat to our democracy and the fact that they were running the story live, interrupting regular programming during the day, during the afternoon, in hours, interrupting regular programming to go live to the scene, to give live coverage to this story. All of a sudden, it was no longer an urgent story. All of a sudden, there were no lessons to be learned about incitement and danger to democracy and so on. It just really shows the incredible hypocrisy and evil of the media that has become nothing more than a source for the most wicked propaganda and for the destruction of Western civilization. And when I say that this was a Farrakhan Nazi who was a fanatic supporter of the black Hitler, Louis Farrakhan, when I say that, when I compare Farrakhan to Hitler, let's understand something, just in case someone thinks I'm exaggerating. Farrakhan himself said that he considers it to be a compliment, a tremendous compliment, when Jewish leaders compare him to Hitler. He said, and I quote, this is Farrakhan speaking, and I quote, "I like when the Jews compare Farrakhan to Hitler. Hitler was a great man. Hitler was a very great man," unquote. And of course, Farrakhan has said that the entire white race is a race of devils that must be exterminated and is going to be exterminated, that there's a spaceship. This is what Farrakhan actually teaches his ignorant, low-life followers who have IQs lower than those of orangutans. Baboons have a higher IQ than Farrakhan's followers. And Farrakhan teaches his followers that there is a spaceship called the Mothership. Mothership. That's flying over the United States. And that the spaceship is manned by the late founder of the Nation of Islam. He's manning the spaceship. And as soon as Allah gives the signal, the entire white devil race is going to be sucked up into that spaceship and exterminated. This is what Farrakhan teaches his followers. These are the type of geniuses that we're dealing with, and they're filled with this fanatic hate to the point where you see that this particular Farrakhan Nazi went out and murdered two police officers. He murdered one of the police officers and tried to murder both of them. He tried to kill two of them. Just was ready to commit murder. And all of a sudden, all those who said that Trump was guilty of incitement on January 6th, and I think Trump's behavior on January 6th was stupidity beyond words. Trump is, I do not think Trump was a good leader, and I think the catastrophe the United States is facing now, I think Trump is largely responsible, because he gave a bad name to conservatism and to republicanism. Because he was, not because he did something that went too far and he should have been more respectable, not at all. The opposite. I attack him from the right. He should have finished building the wall. If he had finished building the wall, we wouldn't have this crisis with huge numbers of illegal aliens coming now to the border in record numbers to cross into the border, in the many parts of the border where Trump did not finish the wall after he promised over and over again, promised and swore to his stupid followers in 2016 that he was going to finish that wall. He finished a very tiny portion of that wall. 95% of what he was supposed to build, he didn't build and didn't do. That's why we have this crisis. He was ineffective. He was not a real leader. He was a joke. He was a clown. If we had an effective leader, a real right-wing effective leader like Ted Cruz, that wall would have gotten built. Ted Cruz was going to start building it on day one. Ted Cruz was going to start appropriating funds from other agencies, which Trump eventually did 2.5 years into his presidency when it was too late. Ted Cruz promised to do that on day one. And the courts upheld it and said there's nothing you can do. A president can do that. Ted Cruz was going to get that job done on day one. Like it or not, he was going to do it. But anyway, as much as we're not fans of Trump because he was not a real conservative and did not do what he needed to do and was not a real friend of Israel, that's baloney. What he did to Israel was disastrous. So as much as we're not fans of Donald Trump, nevertheless, the claim that he incited January 6th riots and should be prosecuted for incitement, but Louis Farrakhan is not guilty of incitement here. When Louis Farrakhan's follower was tweeting all over the place and writing all over social media how he was doing this because he was following what he called Farrakhan, whom he referred to as Jesus the Messiah. And Farrakhan preaches non-stop Nazi hatred of whites in general and Jews in particular all the time. And black leaders support him and back him up all the way. And the white news media backs him up and covers up for him all the way. And by the way, the connection of this guy, even if the story was drastically cut down in terms of the amount of coverage it was given when they found that it was a black Farrakhan supporter, the type of coverage they gave, I'll give you hints on the little tricks they used. You didn't see in the headlines that it was a Farrakhan supporter who did it in the media headlines. I'm not referring to Fox. I'm referring to the other left wing media, and not that Fox are good either. Fox are also terrible, but the left wing media in this case is even worse. It wasn't in the headlines, and what you would get is you'd get, for instance, you see newspaper articles where you didn't see the connection to Farrakhan here until the seventh or eighth paragraph of a news story. If it was a newspaper article or it was a newswire report, you'd have to read until the seventh or eighth paragraph in order to get to the Farrakhan connection, and even there it was buried deep into the story. The media knows that the vast majority of people, for instance, if they're reading a newspaper, reading something online, or reading an item, not actually in a physical newspaper, but reading on a news site, they know that the average person is so lazy in America that the vast majority of people never get to the seventh or eighth paragraph. The average person doesn't read past the first paragraph. They know that. That's why they bury it deep into the story, so most people never even see that it was a Farrakhan supporter. They never even get to see that. This is the type of distorted world that we live in with the media today. And by the way, this guy, the murderer, Noah Green, this Farrakhan black murderer, he was a graduate of Christopher Newport University. He got a bachelor's degree in finance at Christopher Newport University. Now, that sounds impressive, bachelor's degree in finance. Well, maybe he's going to be a businessman. Maybe he's going to work for some Wall Street firm. Bachelor's degree in finance. This is the type of affirmative action dreck that get in. They're mentally retarded. They have IQs of mentally retarded of whites who are mentally retarded. And they become college graduates. And don't think you're buying them off by letting them in college. By the way, they get into college for free. They pay nothing. They get complete college scholarships. Even if they're millionaires, they get college scholarships just because of the color of their skin, whereas white people are in debt for the rest of their lives if they go to college, have student loan debts for the rest of their lives when they go to college. But black people, it's all forgiven, and it's all grant, and it's all loans, and it's all, they wind up paying nothing. They get everything for free. They get in. They automatically are passed through. Some of them don't know how to read and write and wind up going to Ivy League universities. They have black professors in leading universities who are complete morons. Black history professors who have no idea about history. I remember sitting once, I told this story in the past, I was sitting once on the train And I was reading an Israeli newspaper, a Hebrew newspaper from Israel. And I'm reading, and it's Hebrew, of course, it's Hebrew characters. And I'm reading the newspaper, and it happened to be near Columbia University. And there was a black professor from Columbia University with his white sycophant students crowding around him like, you know what flies usually crowd around. Well, that's what this looked like. They were crowding around him like what flies like to crowd around. And he was showing off about how brilliant, they were all listening to him with wide eyes like he's such a genius, complete moron. A black professor at Columbia University. Columbia University was one of the leading universities in the world at one time. You had Jewish students who were geniuses who came out of Columbia University. Geniuses. Now you have this moron. He's a professor. And he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he looked at me reading the newspaper, and he wanted to impress his students. So he said, you don't look Chinese. You're reading a Chinese newspaper. You don't look Chinese. He thought the Hebrew letters and characters were Chinese letters and characters. What a retard. Anyway, these are the type of imbeciles that become affirmative action professors, and this is what society has been reduced to. And this murderer, he was a graduate. He was a graduate of a university, and he had a bachelor's degree in finance. I'm sure, I have no doubt that if he had had half a brain, which obviously he didn't, but if he had had a half a brain, he could have run to Wall Street, or he could have run to any of these big firms, gladly would have hired him in 2 seconds because of his race, just because of his race. They would have hired him in 2 seconds. And his low IQ and his nasty demeanor and everything else about him would have had no effect whatsoever. In fact, it would be advantageous to him in getting the job. He would get a good paying job. He would never be fired. You can never fire them because then you're accused of racism. He would never have any. He could come in late to work and not show up and get paychecks for doing nothing and never do anything on the job, and even cheat and lie and steal on the job, and he would be able to do whatever he wants for the rest of his life and get promotions and everything else, because after all, they don't want to be accused of being racist. If he had half a brain, he would have gone that route. But instead, he decided to go after the white devils. The white devils, that Louis Farrakhan is always talking about. Oh, what a farce. Oh, what a joke. You know, it reminds me also of the case of this 65-year-old Asian woman who was beaten in New York City. They were making that into a national story. They were ready to whip that up into a national story. And it should be a national story. It's a disgrace. I mean, viciously beating this Asian woman until they discovered that it was a black guy who was doing it. When they discovered it was a black guy who was doing it, who was released on parole after he murdered his own mother. In 2002, he murdered his own mother and he was released on parole in New York State. Murdered his mother. He took a kitchen knife and stabbed her in the chest repeatedly until she was dead. Murdered his own mother and released on parole. He gets out on parole. He viciously attacks this 65-year-old Asian woman because the media at first thought that they were hoping it's some white supremacist so they could show how terrible white people are. They were hoping. And instead, it turns out to be the overwhelming majority of violence against Asians doesn't come from white supremacists. Even though, of course, whites who are involved with Nazi or Klan organizations are evil people, there's no question about it. But the overwhelming majority of violence against Asians, the overwhelming majority of violence against Jews in this country and against other minorities comes from blacks. Blacks are the violent people in our society. Blacks are the ones who commit the vast majority of violent crime in our society. They're the vast majority of murderers. They're the vast majority of rapists. They're the vast majority of burglars. They're the vast majority of drug dealers. Blacks. Blacks. You think the media will ever cover that? You think Fox News would ever dare cover that? Even though statistically it's true. Would the media, the Fox News, ever tell you that? Let me tell you something. I'm talking to my fellow Jews here. You better pack your bags and get the hell out of here and go to the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael. Okay, you're not welcome in this country. And if you want to stay in a country like this that behaves like this, you got to be crazy. Now, we're going to tell you about crazy things Israel is doing too that are just as crazy, if not more so. But the difference is God is intervening on behalf of Israel and will protect Israel. God promises that Israel will not be destroyed. No such promises made as far as America or Western countries. So Jews had better get out of here. Their place is in the land of Israel. And by the way, I'm not saying you should jump on a plane and make Aliyah tomorrow. Of course you should learn Hebrew. And of course you should prepare yourself. And of course you should have a plan to try to earn a living and see how you'd get by and how you would adjust to life in Israel. And there's a good chance, if you're not Hebrew speaking and if you don't know enough, there's a good chance that you will have a lower standard of living in Israel, and you'll have less of the material things that you had in the United States or England or Canada or Australia or France or any other country that you come from. Very good. There's a good chance that that's true. But you'll be living in your own homeland with your own people. And someday, the redemption of the world will come through that little land, through that little homeland. And you're commanded to live there. You're commanded to live there. That would be the wisest thing for you to plan to do now. Living here in Farrakhan-loving America. Living here in an America which rewards evil and immorality. Living here in a country like this where three-year-old boys are given sex change operations by their parents to be made into three-year-old girls and are told and are given steroids and other things and are told to become girls and girls are told to become boys at the age of three. And if you dare criticize this, you're banned and barred and you lose your job and everything. And it's a good thing, by the way, that I don't work for any independent company or any independent corporation. I'd be fired. I mean, I'd be fired from my job. Now, I'm the type of person who would say what I believe in anyway. But you are not allowed to tell the truth. If you have a business, you'll be put out of business. If you have a job, you'll be fired from your job. You'll be ostracized in the community. You'll be called every name under the sun. This is what America has become. America has become one giant lynch mob for Black Lives Matter and Queer Lives Matter and Communist Lives Matter and every other evil group under the sun. That's what America has become. Anyway, you should be thinking about, you should learn Hebrew. The biggest obstacle to a successful Aliyah is Hebrew. Learn Hebrew. Do everything you can to learn Hebrew. Learn how to read, write, and speak Hebrew fluently. Learn Hebrew. Plan your future economically and get out of the country. That's the smart thing to do. I'm not saying do it tomorrow morning, but plan for it and then go, and then really go. And plan for it seriously, not just, you know, a bluff. Serious plans. Speaking of Israel, you know, there was an Israeli election on March 23rd, and we spoke about this last week. And Bibi Netanyahu and his evil allies received 59 out of the 120 seats. They were hoping for 61, a majority, and they were expected to get the 61. People would think they would get 61, 63. They were expected to get the majority. It was a surprise that they fell short. And now Netanyahu is struggling to put together a government, and he's having a hard time. I think JTF played a role, I really do, in preventing him from getting what he needed. Because remember, I told you for a long time that if we just alter one, if it's a close election, and we just swing one or two seats away from Netanyahu's coalition, from him and his parties and his coalition, if we could just do that, we could change the results of the election, change history. And I think we played a role in doing that. I really do. Because he only needed tens of thousands of votes, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 more votes, he would have gotten what he needed. He would have been in the driver's seat, and he'd be able to form a government and continue to freeze Jewish all building on Jewish communities in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, which is a catastrophe, continue to try to get Saudi Arabia, Morocco, and other countries to have diplomatic relations with Israel, to invest in Israel, which is a disaster because they'll spend billions of dollars to buy up the whole Israeli economy, and Israel will lose all of the technology, everything, all the big companies in Israel being bought up by Arabs, by our Arab enemies. That's what Netanyahu was doing. There's a tremendous danger to Israel. The worst. And allowing Iran to build nuclear bombs, and allowing, well, I mean, just terrible policies that this beast Netanyahu has pursued. And all the while, people say he's a right winger. Just very dangerous person. And of course, the people running against him were also terrible, terrible people. But at least they're not regarded as right wingers. And there has to be, we have to get out from under Netanyahu. He is the worst. What he has been doing has been the worst. There has to be a change. And as bad as his opposition was, and they are, and most of the people who oppose him are on the left, although Netanyahu really is a leftist too. It's all a bluff. He really is a leftist. His policy is a left wing. But at least his opponents are unable to carry out the policies as successfully as he is. And we've explained that on prior shows, why he is more dangerous. He can do, for instance, now he's trying to bring in Mansour Abbas and the Ra'am party, which is an Arab terrorist party that openly supports the Hamas terrorists and supports the destruction of Israel. And he wants to bring him into the government with him. He wants to make him part of his government and is legitimizing Arab terrorist parties that call for the destruction of Israel. That's going to be part of the Israeli government now and a legitimate part of Israeli politics now. This would be like in the United States if we had a coalition of parties, and part of the coalition were people who openly support Osama bin Laden and openly support Al-Qaeda and openly support 9/11 and openly support... If you had that, you know... It's comparable. Just insanity. Insanity and evil beyond words. And he's surrendering Israeli sovereignty on every opportunity he gets on every front. And so we wanted him out. We wanted him to be defeated. And so we ran a campaign, advertising campaign with our Hebrew videos. They got over 2 million views. He lost, if he had another 40, 50,000 votes, he would be in the driver's seat already. Now he's having a hard time. He still may form a government, God forbid. It's still possible. I hope he won't. But he's having a hard time now. And it's because he lost he lost those two seats that he needed to get the 61-seat majority, 120 seats in the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli parliament, and he got 59 instead of the 61 majority. He only got 59. He fell too short, two seats short. Another 50,000 votes, he would have made it. And so I think the fact that we reached over 2 million Israeli Jewish voters with our videos, which exposed him and which exposed what he and his party and the other parties stand for, in my opinion, I think it had an impact. So I'm very grateful that Baruch Hashem, thank God, he didn't get a majority, and I'm hoping that Ezrat Hashem, God willing, that he doesn't put together a government, that he's going to be eventually out. Another corrupt, evil, fraud, a traitor, a disgrace to the Jewish people, and shame on all the Jews that run after him and say, he's a right winger, what are we going to do? We have to have a right winger. What a shame, what a disgrace, what imbeciles, and especially the Jews who call themselves Kahanists and run after him. Rabbi Meir Kahana, blessed memory, our great leader, the greatest Jewish leader in modern history, would be turning over in his grave if he saw people who call themselves Kahanists and then support Netanyahu and the Likud. People like Itamar Ben-Gvir, who back Netanyahu and the Likud after all the terrible things they've done to the Jewish people. And by the way, Itamar Ben-Gvir is more loyal to Netanyahu and the Likud than the Likud members are. But we're continuing, and we're going to continue to reach the Jews of Israel, God willing, with our message. We're going to try to continue to expose the truth to them, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's our message. That's our mission. That's what we're trying to do. That's what JTF is trying to do. And if you agree that that's important, then you're in the right place. Then you're in the right place. That's what we're trying to do. And that's what we're fighting for. And meanwhile, here in the United States, we're going to keep doing videos like this, telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, something black defendants never do in a court of law. And hope that people will wake up before it's too late. The United States, I think it probably is too late in the United States. In Israel, although we may face terrible tragedies, we may face catastrophes, even God forbid, there may be terrible things may come, but in the end, Israel is not going to be completely destroyed, and Israel will be redeemed, and the Jews will wake up in the end. That will happen someday, even if there's terrible suffering and tragedy before then, God forbid, because the Jews, in the meantime, don't want to wake up. But in the end, the prophets and Hashem, God has promised us over and over again that in the end the Jews will wake up, and the Jews and Israel will be redeemed, and the redemption of the world will go through that little country. That little country will be responsible in the end for the redemption of the whole world. So, that's where we stand right now. We're going to stand up for truth and fight for truth. And truth and righteousness and justice will someday prevail, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. If we fight together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.